Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 24. That's Exodus chapter 24. Today, on the Bible Institute of the Air, we're going to study together verses 9 through 18. And while you're finding the place, let me remind you of the fact that chapters 19 through 40 of the book of Exodus are chapters of Revelation. They record for us Israel at Sinai, 21 chapters devoted to the history of 9.5 months of the nation. In chapters 19 to 31, the will of God for that nation is disclosed. In chapters 32 to 34, that will of God is despised. In chapters 35 to 40, the will of God is discharged. In chapter 19, there is a revelation of God to the nation. And then in chapters 20 to 24, there is an annunciation of the law, in which chapter 20, verses 1 to 17, gives us the revelation of the law. Chapter 20, verse 18, through chapter 23, verse 33, the regulation of the law. And then here in chapter 24, the ratification of the law. Now, I called your attention to the fact that chapter 24 is divided into three parts. The first two verses, we have the Lord announced His will. In verses 3 to 8, the people accepted the covenant. And in verses 9 to 18, the leaders ascended the mount. We brought to a close our study of the first 8 verses of this chapter by pointing out that Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words." Thus, that life which was given up on behalf of the people in sacrifice, sprinkled upon the altar, representing the life that was consecrated unto God, then that same blood, or at least part of the blood from the same sacrifices, was sprinkled upon the people, indicating that life was given back by God in His grace, a renewed life, giving them power to serve Him as the covenant people of the Lord. Now, in verses 9 through 18, the leaders, that is Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, go up into the mount again. And so, in verses 9 to 11, there is the celebration of the covenant. Let's read them. "Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel He laid not His hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink." I believe this gives us a record of the celebration of the covenant that had been made. And the leaders of Israel here, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders, are representative of the whole nation. First of all, they ascend up into the mountain, and they went up. But they not only ascended into the mountain to which God had called them, but twice in this passage it tells us that they saw the God of Israel. Now, this is an important and significant title for Jehovah. It didn't say they saw the Lord God of Israel. They simply saw the God of Israel. In other words, the nation now that is made up of the natural descendants of Jacob, who, of course, had his name changed to Israel, has become by covenant relationship the people of God. And so this passage tells us that these representatives of the nation saw God. Well, how did they see God? Well, certainly they didn't see God as God. For the Word of God tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. It simply means no man hath seen God as God at any time. And then, of course, Moses later on in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus asked God to show him his glory. And God said that he would cause his goodness to pass before him. And God went on to say that no man could look upon God and live. That's in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 33. So it's quite obvious that these men did not see God as God. It's also obvious that they saw more than what the entire nation saw when they saw the cloud and the fire of God that represented God that led them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, they saw a manifestation of God. Now, we're not told exactly how that manifestation was given. Perhaps this was what we call a theophany or a Christophany, that they saw a manifestation of God, some revelation of God in the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, we cannot be sure about that. However, they did see God. And then the Word of God says that they did eat and drink. And this speaks of communion, of fellowship. One thing more I need to say about their beholding God, as is given in verse 10, there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And of course, this sapphire stone is the color that surrounds the throne of God, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. This speaks of purity. So we see in this passage that they saw God as he occupied his throne, authority, sovereignty, and the clearness of what they saw indicates the purity, the holiness of Almighty God. And yet, in spite of the fact that they saw God, that is a manifestation of God, it tells us that upon the nobles of the children of Israel, God laid not his hand, that is, he did not destroy them. You see, no man could look upon God as God and live. Now, they saw a manifestation of God, and yet they were not destroyed. This indicates that through the purifying blood of the covenant, these men were made fit to stand in the presence of a holy and sovereign God and not be consumed in his presence. Now, Dr. Scofield calls attention to the fact that they saw God and did eat and drink. This is a symbol of communion, a blood-sprinkled people who had not yet broken the law, could thus commune with God. And he calls attention to another fact, that never again was this particular scene repeated. Well, of course, later on we discover that Israel had Aaron to make golden calves for them to worship, and the nation Israel then turned away from her God. So here is the celebration of the covenant. Then in verses 12 to 14, there is the communication of the covenant. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. All right, Moses now is summoned to come on up into the top of the mount to be with the Lord. He's to come alone. He's to come unto God there. God then would communicate unto him or give him the tables of stone, which contain the law and commandments which God himself wrote. So this is not only divinely inspired, but the actual writing of Almighty God. And then these are the things that Moses was to teach the children of Israel. So in verse 13, Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. It's quite obvious that Joshua did not go all the way with Moses, for later on when Moses comes down out of the mountain, he meets Joshua on the way down, and Joshua tells him of the noise in the camp. And he said unto the elders, this is Moses, said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. So the elders were left down at the foot of the mount with Aaron and Hur and the people. Joshua went up part of the way with Moses, and then Moses went on beyond Joshua into the very presence of Almighty God to have the covenant communicated unto him, which he, in like manner, was to teach the people. And then in verses 15 to 18, we read of the covering of the cloud. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. All right, the glory of the Lord was manifested by this cloud. This was the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory, and it covered all the mount, and it covered Moses. And then after 6 days of being covered with this cloud, of course, this was in the eyesight of the whole nation as they looked toward that mount, and they saw the cloud. And on the seventh day, God called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, this devouring fire is symbolic of purity, the purifying effect of the cloud. And, of course, God in his unsullied holiness cannot countenance sin. And so anyone who stands before him must be purified. If he's not, then the holiness of God would consume him in his wrath. So the cloud, the glory of God, was like a devouring fire upon the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and gat him up unto the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, this term 40 occurs frequently in connection with the history of the nation and the life of Moses, and even in the life of the Lord Jesus, whether it's 40 days or 40 years. This is a number of testing, and it's also a number of testing together with the strengthening of the Lord sufficient to make it an experience of triumph. So here Moses, as he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, nothing to eat. Of course, he was in a period of testing, but with the strength of God about him, he was able to triumph in this hour of testing, and he received from God then the instructions of the Lord relative to the covenant. And the covering cloud indicates that Moses was in fellowship with Almighty God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have fellowship with God, and you can too, my friend, if you repent of your sins and put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.